provide a comprehensive systematics that would unify all of the tracks and not simply leave them as one after the other. But to engage in this complex and demanding analysis of these special categories and so on requires believing in the possibility of it and the value of it to start with.
That's right.
And I didn't perceive your having done that. And I think that one of the ways of looking at that is to compare this project with Aquinas' project, which you did implicitly. For Aquinas' project of systematics, he had a very simple base. And that was the dialectic between God as the exemplar of humanity and humanity as the image of God. And that was the way by which to combine both the analysis of the human existential and of the possibility of the knowledge of God, and to use that kind of microcosmic, if you will, relationship as the way to understand the macrocosmic dynamic of creation and redemption. So that conception, even though it was not one with explicitly historical categories, was nevertheless one that accepted that what theology was doing was dealing with fact,
of course,
not nature, but
that's
with
right.
fact. So that was already there. So I think in order to begin to deal with this correlation between the immanent and the economic trinity, on one hand, to show that the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the world are going to be correlative, and to have the general categories to deal with that, what you must first have is the supposition that there is an intrinsic connection between humanity and God. And that I do not see in your systematics. And I think that that is the crucial dimension in Aquinas that enables the sweep of his organization of the whole of the summa and the whole of theology. And I think that that is there in Lonergan. And that is there in that notion of being as the object of the unmitigated desire to know, which then becomes theologically the natural desire for the beatific vision.
Okay. And so therefore it's there in the total and basic science that I'm saying is the source of the general categories in the theology. So I'm presuming all of that.
Well, that's not to be presumed. I think it must be put out forward,
okay.
out front, and then it doesn't become, I think, such a you forgive the expression, mechanical process of mapping turns, that the process becomes a much more fluid process, and not so much a kind of Lonerganian scholasticism of trying to get these words together and to match, because in so much of what Lonergan did was ad hoc and brilliant, brilliant aperçu. So I would like to see the development. Your project is the project of Catholic theology and Christian theology, and the opening of Christian theology to world religion. But I would like to see that first step there, that first ground, not only for the sake of continuity between the traditional Catholic theology and contemporary Catholic theology, but for the very sake of understanding as the function of systematics.
Okay, let me say this, Bill. I mean, it's precisely for the reasons that you're proposing that I had to go beyond what I said 2 years ago, and to take Lonergan's words from the response to the questionnaire on philosophy as the source of what I've said is the base of the general category. Presume is maybe not the word that I should have used there. When the thing gets written, it's all going to be quite stated explicitly. But all of those things that you're talking about, as they are found in insight, are going to be presented. In a paper like this, all I can do is say that the source of the general categories is a cognitional theory, epistemology, metaphysics, and existential insight, ethics that Lonergan proposes. And I could have gone on, but it would have been a much longer paper if I spelled all those things out. But I intend all of that to be a part of it. The mapping. First of all, you know, I'm not going to blame Danny for the metaphor. I liked the metaphor, but I don't find that it's mechanical. You know, I think there's a great deal of artistry that's involved in trying to locate whether or not a set of categories, one set of categories, can be adequately systematized by a particular framework. That's the issue. Whatever metaphor you want to use, I'm completely open to the fluidity of the process and to the serendipity of insight as the process goes on. And one of the reasons and it's not a deductive process. I hope that you don't mean deduction by a mechanical, because it's
too complex for deduction.
It's absolutely not deductive. There will be deductive moments in it, as there are in cognitional process in general, but it's not a deductive process. It's one of the reasons that I think it can't be done. I don't think a single person can write a system. Maybe I'm just making a personal statement there that I can't do it, but I think it's got to be a group. I think it's got to be a common. And that's going to loosen up the process, right? People really dialogue.
Paco and David.
I've been reading your former papers in the method, and I found very interesting the transposition you are trying to do from metaphysical categories into consciousness analysis or intentionality. Well, as for St. Thomas, as Bill was saying, I think that apart from this question of the image of God and the image of man, humans, and the analogy that is behind that, one point that is key is the absolutely supernatural calling we have to beatific vision, and the fact that it's impossible to realize real good, even in the earth, in this world, without race.
Right.
And this is a transcultural thing.
That's
transcultural.
Right.
It's very difficult to transmit this to other religious ways of living the calling of love. Huh? Or out of this. But I think that this has to be, it's a very simple principle that is in Aquinas, and it's the theorem of the supernatural. And I think that this has to be certainly studied in history. How does it, it's rather a comment, but I think this is very interesting, and I am also a little, I put myself questions as if it is possible to make this transposition for every category from the metaphysical into the conscious analysis. I don't know if it's possible.
That's Lonergan, though, you know, 343
yeah.
in method.
Yeah.
For every term in relation, there will be a corresponding element of intentional consciousness. So that is a very heavy. But it's the only way, and for him at least, it's the only way to avoid conceptualism.
Dave?
All of
of us are very grateful for the way you, your mind works, but I want to piggyback on Bill. I'm worried that the intrinsic ambiguity in the word foundations and systematics is not constantly being recalled to us. By that I mean Lonergan's foundations has nothing to do with foundationalism, right? Neither does Lonergan's systematics have anything to do with what the 18th century meant by systematics. I'm worried about your friend Mansour. To pun on his name a bit, he seems conquered by Hegel. In other words, the theological transformation of these categories is where the rubber hits the road. And when we talk about constructing this whole business of, you know, virtually sufficient, not logical, but heuristic construction of a systematics not yet assembled, I get very worried. Because the goal has to be understanding, and understanding is proved in practice. And if this whole structure is virtually sufficient for what? For guiding practice, which will be the test. But if the focus is consistently on the structure, if sublation means what Hegel meant it did, and not what Lonergan meant it did, I think we're in trouble. And I feel a lot, I got a lot of worries about our friend Mansour, whom I haven't met. So I'm not talking with you now, but with Mansour, whom you are the voice for. Very worrisome.
I'm taking the statement, the state of the question from his papers.
I don't distinguish what he's doing from ontotheology, is my worry. In other words, we're going to have some general categories that are going to take care of everything, but we don't see their radical insufficiency when it comes to the telos, the theological telos. Theological transformation has to be an action and not just something said. That worries me. In your presentation, as I say, I don't have anything more to go by than that.
Well, I mean, I certainly will. I have to take that into consideration. That's not the intention behind what I'm attempting to do at all.
Well, maybe like Bill, I'm trying to recall us to the intention. The intention is understanding, and understanding is tested.
The intention of this is understanding. Yeah. It's the primary function of systematics. Synthetic understanding of the mysteries of faith. Now that's all in the previous stuff, okay, that I've done.
Yeah.
And this was just picking up on the last part of the paper that I gave here 2 years ago and trying to develop it a little further. I don't know what else to say to allay those suspicions.
Okay, I just wanted to be you to be worried about the ghost of David.
Julius.
First, I have to say, just to the speaker, I'm happy in front of Robert M. Doran. For years, I've been just trying to get into your vision of what should be a systematic theology. Actually, I'm a friend of the translator in Spanish of your wonderful theology, the dialectics of history. What rather part I'm happy that I can be in front of you personally. And I listened to this project, and when you started talking, then a storm, kind of storm, mental storm started just in my mind, because a very sticky question just came, and I will just read what I have been very unsystematically. This storm first came here. The West, is the West the world? Because it's a Catholic theology. We have to create a Catholic theology, not a European or Western theology, but Catholic theology. Now, my third question, is the West the whole world? This is about talking about the word Catholic. Then, my spontaneous answer, the East, or the West, the East is the other side of the moon. But the same can be said about the East, the West seen from the East, the other side of the moon. Then talking about metaphysical, the word metaphysical, the basic of theology, now what metaphysical basis could have an oriental theology, or should oriental theology be based on no metaphysics at all? That's the question. Because you cannot build on something that doesn't exist. The closest author or thinker or system that could be compared with Aristotle or Aquinas is Shankara, the systematizer or the best and most developed systematic philosophy, which is the basis for understanding the old Indian thought. But you can hardly call that metaphysical in the sense used, because nothing in Indian thought is not metaphysical. The only physical thing is the praxis, the methodology, the scientific, oriental scientific methodology to get to know the truth, in the same way as in the Western science. Method is the real tool and question tool to get to real knowledge, not the hypothesis, not even the conclusions of this investigation, the research, these experiments, so, but the only permanent thing is just the method. Scientific method works, it does work, but in the East, what is the we call the real method is completely different from the West, because I think the common point in the whole Indian philosophy is just the personal experience of the unknown. So, coming to a conclusion, I have been just at the end taking terms, some basic terms, Catholicity, historicity, metaphysics, hypothesis, coherent synthesis, and all this. Well, this I can find in the essence of a possible Eastern theology. It doesn't exist. But if it would exist based on Eastern experience, historical experience, and the essence of their culture or the core of their culture would be just realizing the unknown. Well, and now to end here, I am a former Jesuit, I am a former Jesuit that when I became 40, just because this storm had been in my mind for years. I was teaching at Sofia University, a Jesuit university. But I, at the same time, for the first time in the history of Christians in Japan, I decided to start to go back to zero and to enter the University of Tokyo and to start just forgetting about my Western, not forgetting, but letting aside and starting from zero, because I didn't understand, knowing very well the language, I couldn't understand the Oriental mind. Not only that, but Western scholars saying clearly, real professionals saying that it was impossible to have a dialogue between East and West because the Western mind is based on, naturally, on the first principle of contradiction, yes or no, and so on. You start with yes or no, and then you verify this yes or no. But the East doesn't do that. It's just starting an intelligible question that has to be realized but not explained and not transmitted the explanation. Anyway, that's a very long explanation, but anyway, coming to an end, East is East. And West is West. I have one leg in here, and this was my first leg, my right leg. I have my left leg now in the East, and I don't know where to stand. Himalaya, in the Everest, and I don't know where I am. So I am really alienated from both East and West. Sorry to be so long, I'm happy after with you to have a dialogue with.
Well, thank you. What I think we need as part of a dialogue with what you're saying is the experience of people who have been in cultures that I have not been in, but who have been able to work with Ryerman's material in those environments. is it or is it not the case that the process, not the language with which he describes the process, but that the process itself that he describes is transcultural? He maintains that it is. And he also maintains that the source of the special categories, namely the gift of God's love, is a transcultural reality. If he's wrong, then this whole thing is wrong. The whole thing is wrong. And, or it's just Western, or it's just onto theology, or whatever you want to call it. But if he's right, then there is some way of adjudicating the difficulties that both yourself and Bill and David have indicated. There's a language that's obviously culturally conditioned, and it's Western. But it's the same thing that even when writing in the Prolegomenon to the study of the emerging religious consciousness of our time, it's clear that there's something emerging that is different from what has been. And yet the language, the only language with which any of us can talk about it right now, is the language that has been and the language that our traditions have developed. And so Lautergan himself says, the only language with which I can talk about this is the language that comes out of my tradition, and that's the language of the gift of God's love poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. There's a language that has yet to emerge with regard to religious experience, I think, as I believe. I think it's very significant that in his later writings, he comes back again and again to Robbie Edmund Whitson's book, The Coming Convergence of World Religions. I really think that he saw that as the model, but something that's far down the road, but something that we've got to start with what we've got. And we have to, otherwise, we've got to admit its limitations. We have to learn from dialogue. Our minds have to be continually expanded in the self-correcting process of learning. But it comes down to the question, is there anything transcultural? And his answer is the intentional process and the religious gift are transcultural. And I share that conviction. I don't think anything else is, and I don't think anything else is normative. Nothing else is normative. No culture is normative. No church law is normative. Nothing. Only this. Only the inbuilt demands of the human spirit are normative. Nothing.
Sometimes we have to have stop with what we have.
Let's just say that all exactly right. What you're saying, my being here with Lonergan is exactly what you're saying. For the first time, looking for some bridge, I found Lonergan and your presentation, and I say that this the light I saw, the possibility of building the bridge. That's it. So I am 100% for the whole thing. Thank you.